again, we'd like to turn to the book of 1 John, chapter 1. Again, last week, looking at verses 1 and 2, looking at the Christian life that we're privileged and have the opportunity to live, as it's illustrated here in the book of 1 John. That which was from the beginning, John's talking about Christ, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. We see that the life of a Christian should be a life of fellowship or relationship with the Lord. We see this by the words heard. John says we have heard him, we have seen him, we have looked upon him, we have handled or touched him. And then in verse 2 again he says, restates the fact that they had seen Christ. And as we saw last week, there's a vast difference between religion and relationship. The world has a lot of religion, but religion is not what will get you to heaven. It is a relationship with Christ. And you can have, you can be a very religious person. You can be a very moral person and not have a relationship with Christ. The life that we are privileged to live is a life of relationship. When the Lord saved us, he initiated a relationship. And now we are privileged to develop that relationship. A relationship, of course, is a connection. That is, we have a connection. We have an association with the Lord Jesus Christ. As we saw last week, for a relationship to continue to be a relationship, it has to continue, it has to develop. When that stops, somewhere along the line, the relationship dies. That is, it ceases to be a relationship. A relationship can turn back into an acquaintance, but the relationship itself can die. And a relationship, as we saw last week, includes many things, and all of these things must be developing if the relationship is growing. There has to be a knowledge of the Lord. That's just, again, not a knowledge about him. Religion has a knowledge about him. But it is a true knowing him. And that is to be developing. And as that develops, the relationship develops. Christ has to be real to us. Again, you can have a religion. You can believe a lot of things. You can believe a lot of truths about God. You can believe a lot of truths about Christ. You can believe a lot of truths about the Holy Spirit, and none of those be real to you. So relationship involves the reality of the one which we have a relationship with. It involves fellowship. You cannot have a relationship without there being communication. There has to be fellowship. There also has to be a closeness. Relationship means closeness. That is, and again, this is continuing. This is developing all along the way. And there has to be agreement. You cannot have much of a relationship if it's not built. Relationship has to be built on some kind of agreement, some point of agreement. And the more we agree with the Lord, the more our relationship with him develops. And we see here in 1 John 1, verses 1 and 2, that the apostles, John speaking on behalf of all of them, he says, we have heard, we have seen. He's not just talking about himself, but he's talking about the apostles as a whole. And speaking on their behalf, he says, we had a developing relationship with Jesus Christ. So how does this happen? How does this happen? Again, we see that the Lord initiates the relationship. We are not born with a relationship with the Lord. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2 that we're born without Christ, that we were afar off. So those things eliminate a relationship. We were not born with a relationship with the Lord. But when the Lord saved our soul, he initiated a relationship with us. And now that relationship is to be developing. That relationship is to continue. So how does that happen? Well, it doesn't just happen. It does not just happen automatically. No relationship does. If it's going to grow deeper, if it's going to develop, it's not going to do so by you and I sitting back doing nothing. By you and I sitting back and neglecting God and not thinking about God and not meditating upon God. So it's not something that once the Lord saves you, you just sit back, do nothing, and just automatically this relationship will develop. It's not going to happen. It's going to require work. But again, a relationship, not only does it not happen automatically, it doesn't happen quickly. That is, it doesn't just happen overnight. It requires time. Relationship, for a relationship to grow, it requires time. Not only does it require time, it requires effort. It requires effort on both parties. So it's not going to just happen automatically. It's going to require time. Time on our behalf. It's going to require some effort for us to put forth some energy, for us to invest in the relationship. Again, if you're going to have a relationship, you're making an investment. You're making an investment of time. You are making an investment of energy. And if you're not willing to invest time and energy, you're not going to have a relationship, because it's not just going to happen. And that's, again, not to get off the subject, but that's what happens in so many marriages. At one time, a relationship was initiated, but somewhere along the line, the willingness to invest, people begin to invest more in themselves rather than the other person. And somewhere along the line, that willingness to invest ceases, and with that, the relationship ceases as well. So it takes time, it takes effort. It's not going to be easy. It doesn't happen automatically, it doesn't happen quickly, and it does not happen easily. That is, it takes discipline. It takes work on our behalf. But something else that a relationship requires, and certainly this is true with our relationship with the Lord, it requires the heart. Without the heart, you have no relationship. And never is that more true than when we're talking about the Lord. It requires that our heart be in it. If your heart is not in it, if your heart is not in a relationship, that relationship will die. Again, the other person's heart may be in it, but if yours isn't, that relationship is going to suffer. A relationship requires heart. That is, a close and meaningful relationship with the Lord requires the heart. And a close and meaningful relationship with the Lord is going to require our heart. It's going to require a heart that has been, first of all, given peace by God. That happened when the Lord saved our soul. It's our heart has to be changed for this relationship to develop. It is also a heart that is anchored in God. If our relationship with the Lord is going to grow, if we're going to live a life of relationship with the Lord, our heart has to be anchored in God. And our heart is anchored somewhere. It's anchored somewhere. This is what Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount when he talked about either your heart's on earth or your heart's in heaven. It's anchored somewhere. It's anchored to something on earth or it's anchored to the Lord in heaven. And where our heart is anchored speaks volumes of our relationship and determines our relationship. So if we're going to have a relationship with the Lord, our heart has to be anchored in Him. It has to be a heart that is humbled by God. Pride will kill a relationship. Pride will ruin. I don't care what relationship we're talking about, whether between husband and wife, two friends, doesn't matter. Pride will kill any relationship. There has to be a tenderness of heart. A hardness of heart will kill a relationship. And again, these things are required. If we're going to have a relationship with the Lord, there has to be a tenderness of heart. And everything we do for the Lord has to be with all of our heart. That goes back to the fact that our heart is to be anchored in the Lord. And you go through the Bible sometime and just notice all the things that we are to do with all of our heart. With all of our heart. And that goes into our relationship with the Lord. We'll just mention them to save time, but in not going to the verses. But in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 29, we see that we are to seek the Lord with all of our heart. Now, that's necessary if we're going to have this relationship with the Lord. We see also in Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12 that we are to serve the Lord with all of our heart. We're to serve Him with all of our heart. In Deuteronomy 30 and verse 2, we're to obey Him with all of our heart. In Deuteronomy 30 and verse 10, we are to turn to the Lord. There is to be a constant turning to the Lord, and this is to be, again, with all of our heart. 1 Kings 2 and verse 4, we're to walk before the Lord with all of our heart. In 1 Kings 14 and verse 8, we're to follow the Lord with all of our heart. Psalm 86 and verse 12, we're to praise the Lord with all of our heart. Proverbs 3, 5, we're to trust Him with all of our heart, leaning not upon our own understanding. Now, all of these things go into developing this closer relationship with the Lord. So we can all go back to the day that the Lord saved our soul. A relationship was initiated that day. And we need to examine from that day until now, how has that relationship developed? Where has it gone? Has it become stagnant? Has the relationship grown deeper? You can just go back a month. You can go back a year. And we need to ask ourselves, has the relationship with the Lord developed? Is it developing? Or is there a problem with the relationship? And unlike human relationships, if there is a problem with our relationship with the Lord, it's all on us. It's all on us. Now, most likely, in human relationships, if there's a problem, it's probably not all completely on one person. There's probably fault on both sides. But that's never the case with the Lord. If there's a problem with our relationship with the Lord, if our relationship with the Lord is not growing, then, again, it's all on us. And what a difference life makes for a child of God to have a relationship with the Lord. This is one of the reasons that so many of God's people, and it seems to me that the majority of those who profess Christ are miserable individuals. They're just, overall, they are miserable people. And it has to be because there's a problem with their relationship with the Lord. You can say, no, that's not the problem, Brother Dan. The problem is I've got this set of circumstances. That's not the problem. Because the relationship of the Lord will get you through those circumstances. So this relationship requires all of our heart. It's worth it. It's worth all the time you put into it. It's worth all the effort. It's worth your entire heart. What a difference it makes if all of a sudden a enormous problem, an enormous difficulty appears in your life. But all the way up till that time, you have had a developing relationship with the Lord. What a difference that's going to make. Or you can go the other way. All of a sudden you have this enormous problem. Your relationship with the Lord is not what it ought to be. It has not developed. You are a miserable individual. You do not know where to turn. You do know where to turn, but you're unable to turn there because the relationship has been broken. Now you're going to have to take all this time to repair that before you can do anything else. And most people never do that. So they continue to deal with the problem, deal with the circumstance and their own strength, and they grow more tired every day, they grow more miserable every day, they grow more depressed every day, and the relationship with the Lord has not developed any at all. And that makes a big difference in the way that we live our lives. So this relationship is going to require a separated and careful walk. If we're going to have a growing and developing relationship with the Lord, we cannot listen to the advice of the world concerning the Lord. They're not going to help your relationship with the Lord. You better be careful about going to lost people for advice. Be careful, because they're not looking at the spiritual side of it. None whatsoever. And there is always a spiritual side. Always. And the Lord says that we are to seek first the spiritual side. I don't care what our problems are, we're to seek first the spiritual side. If we do that, a lot of our problems will just go away. And once we deal with the spiritual side, now you're set to deal with the problem. We cannot act according to the principles of the world and have a developing relationship with the Lord. We have to be careful about our associations if we're going to have a developing relationship with the Lord. And this is why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 17, come out from among them and be ye separate. If you're going to have this relationship, you're going to have to be very particular who you associate with. If there's somebody that brings you down spiritually, you need to spend less time with them. You need to spend less time with them. And those who bring you up spiritually, you need to spend more time with. So this relationship also requires a standard. All relationships must have a standard of some sort. And so it is with God. Of course, our standard is going to be God. And if we're going to have a developing relationship with the Lord, we have to be subject to God's authority. We have to surrender ourselves to His rules. That's the only way we can develop this relationship. It requires surrender to God. It requires communion with the Lord. Again, you may have had a very close friend back in high school days, and you could not be separated. But through the years, you haven't talked with one another. And you run into that person 20 years later, and you try to just pick up where you left off. It doesn't work. Because, you see, there hasn't been communion. The relationship died. And now it's no longer a relationship, it's an acquaintance. It's an acquaintance. And people mistakenly say, oh, this is my best friend. I hadn't talked to him in 20 years. But this is my best friend. No, he might have been your best friend at one time. But don't you see, that relationship died. But people do the same thing with the Lord. The Lord's my best friend. They haven't talked to him in days. They haven't had any communion with him. They're out of fellowship with him. They're not in agreement with him. They have nothing in common. But God's my best friend. We use those terms very, very loosely. So a relationship requires communion. A relationship is going to require overcoming everything that would hinder a relationship. Now, as far as our relationship with God is concerned, what hinders that relationship is our sin. And that's why we need to confess our sins. We need to deal with our sins, because our sin is going to hinder that relationship. And if we're going to develop this relationship, then we have to overcome sin. Sin cannot be ignored. Sin cannot be minimized. Sin cannot be justified. Sin has to be dealt with. So we'll begin looking next week at verse 3. It's not only a life of relationship, but you see in verse 3, it's a life of twofold fellowship. A life of fellowship with the Lord, and a life of fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. Again,